listening to Chaos on the Set, a chaotic TV and film review podcast. Your usual hosts, Kate and Mike, are here today.
Hello.
Say hi, Mike.
Hi.
Shruti is not joining us
today.
Oh
my gosh, it's like when Joe and I'm calling them by this character name, but it's like when Charlie and Nick, I love that.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember Fall in Our Stars when they go like, okay,
never saw
okay.
It.
Never mind. Okay.
Sorry to derail your intro, but I just thought that was cute.
We don't have Shruti here today because she has not seen what we're covering.
Yeah, she's fake. She's fake as fuck.
She's fake as fuck. But we do have a wonderful guest host today. Jacob, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Jacob. I've been on the show before, actually, and neither of you were here when I did that.
Wait.
What episode?
I was on the Better Call Saul episodes with Noah and my roommate, Jeremy, Shruti.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to know something? Even though I'm like literally one of like the co-creators of this podcast, I have not listened to the Better Call Saul episode.
No. Well, you're just missing out on incredible talent. So that's
I apologize. You are a returning guest.
I'll make an even bigger admission. I don't listen to probably 95% of our episodes.
Well, that's really going to be great for the listenership.
Shruti's going to be pissed. But no,
She listens to them. If she's not on this podcast, she's still going to. And it's very rare where Shruti's not on the podcast.
Yeah.
But she just was concerned. She's like, I don't think I can watch it in time. And we wanted to record about Heartstopper, by the way. That's what we're covering today. While it's still kind of hot and, new. But she will listen to this and we are going to get angry texts. Well, you're going to get angry texts. She's just going to come into my room and go, hey.
Well, look,
go ahead.
I just I don't care to really listen to myself talk back. And then the episodes that I'm not on are typically because it's a movie I haven't seen. So if I do listen, the rare instances that I do listen are the episodes that I'm not on, but I have seen the film or TV show that we are covering. So it's a very rare instance, but yeah.
Guys, don't let Mike gaslight you. He just hates us.
She will yell at me.
Well, hopefully I can live up to the standard that Shruti sets, which I know is a high bar, but...
No, you're gonna fly by it.
I'm here. I'm passionate about what we're talking about, so
yes.
I'm ready.
Let's
get into it, guys, because I know all three of us are pretty big fans of Heartstopper. Did you guys watch season one when it came out? I think it came out like spring of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys kind of watch it when it came out, or did you guys binge season one and then binge season two like back to back?
So I am an active member of gay Twitter. And and when it first came out, there was like 2 weeks where everyone was just talking about that. So I actually ended up watching it like a couple weeks after it came out, and I was like, oh damn, this is good. But and then of course the long wait for season two, which just dropped. So it's when you watch it when it first comes out, that waiting period is just a lot.
Yeah, it was a while. I'm not on gay Twitter, but it still found its way to whatever Twitter I'm on. I don't know what that is.
Are you on Twitter? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
about as much as you're on Letterboxd.
I'm on BTS Twitter. I'm on BTS Twitter.
Oh my god. Really?
I have a secret account, yeah. No one will
ever
know.
You have a burner?
I have like a burner account where I just like all of like the update accounts. So I just know like when they're releasing music and stuff. But it somehow found its way onto there and I was like, what's this show? And then I'm the same as Jacob. I watched it like 2-3 weeks after it came out and I was just obsessed immediately.
I know, I watched it like 8 times.
I just kept rewatching like what I thought were the cutest scenes, and then I read the comics online, and then I liked those so much that I bought the physical volumes. And I brought them to LA, so they're on my little desk right now, and yeah.
So yeah, I haven't read the graphic novels, although now I really want to. Although I don't know. I'm not much of a reader, to be honest.
But they're pictures.
I know, but my point being, I don't know how I feel about reading before watching. I'm typically like a watch a movie first and then maybe read the book after. So I don't know if I want to like read ahead. Or maybe, how long are they? Let me ask you that first. Are they short or are they...
Oh, you can fly through them. They're probably like, each chapter is probably like a few pages. I don't know how to quantify it because I like scroll, you know, like when I was reading them originally online. I mean, I have the volumes now, but I would just like scroll.
So it's not like I could hold off necessarily.
I mean, here's the thing.
And just like read one and two and then.
I mean, I think if you don't want, like, it depends on how you want to figure out information going forward. Do you want to see it unfold in the television show or do you want to read it in the comics? Because the comics are farther ahead right now than the show. Like, she's close to finishing the comics right now. So it's just, how do you want to find out about Charlie and Nick's story going forward? And I just was so impatient and I loved it so much that I just read the comics.
Yeah, maybe I will.
They're very good.
Listen, if you can read Goodnight Moon, you can read the comics. I mean, it's like
they're an easy read. They're such, like, I fly through them. Like, cause she updates them like every like 10 days or so.
Okay.
And she's actively updating them right now. And when I like know that today it came out, I will read that thing in like a minute and a half.
Yeah, no, it's not really a matter of time. Like, if I really wanted to read them, I could. I get, for me, it's just like, I don't know if I want to be spoiled or not. Yeah. I'll have to come to that conclusion.
We're gonna do no spoilers on this pod. Just in case people don't want to read the comics.
No spoilers for future seasons. We're very much spoiling season two if you haven't
absolutely
seen it already.
Season two is like full spoiler ahead, so if you haven't watched it yet, now is a good time to probably turn this off, because now let's kind of get into what you guys thought about season two. Did you like it better than season one? Did you kind of, you know, what were your thoughts? I'd love to know.
I think I did like it better than season one, although they're so different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, season one, when I watched it for the first time, just felt like so earth-shattering, monumental, because I haven't really seen a show like that before and it means so much. So it was like so lovely to watch for the very first time. But like season two, I loved because I feel like there's a lot more depth to season two.
Yeah.
We're really getting places with their storyline, because like for all of season one, you're dying for them to get together, you know, and it like doesn't happen until really like the second half of the season. And so now that it's like full flung, it's a great season. I mean, they're both really great. But I guess I prefer to a little bit more. Maybe it's just the freshness of it. I binge rewatched season one before diving into season two, and I almost forgot like how quick it was. I was like, shit, like I did this in like a day.
Yeah.
And now we're the long wait to season three, but it's just such a heartwarming, delightful, but also sad show at the same time.
Yeah, I think season two, what I liked more about it was that it did deviate more from the comics, so there were like good surprises for people who do read those. But also, yeah, I think the character development in season two, giving everyone storylines, giving relationships a chance to build, I think that really was stepped up. It almost was like season one was kind of a test run of like, okay, can we make a show like this? And then season two, everyone kind of found their own. The acting was better.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
It was just, I really, really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the twists and the turns and the complexity. And most of all, the show actually kind of having a plot, which season one maybe lacked a little of plot. I know that might be controversial, But season two, you really get all of that judge.
Season one was like the meet cute. Like, we have to set this up, and now will they won't. And I appreciate season two because it's, okay, now the whole plot isn't, are we going to get together? Nick, are you actually bi? Are you straight? Like, can this work? Blah, blah, blah. And then it does. And I just like that. Now this season was, you know, not just about the relationship. It was, oh, Nick has a bad relationship with his father. You know, Charlie's going through an eating disorder, but he's not sure that it is yet. And then, yeah, every single character, I think, even Imogen, I was like, oh, they're really, girl, like, they gave her such an arc this season,
breakout
too.
Breakout star of season two, Miss Imogen. Let me tell you something about Miss Imogen. Those Paris looks she was serving, that alone was already it for me. But everything she said this season was so hilarious. Like, even in that first episode, when they have that awkward moment in the kitchen and she's like, I'm so ready for pizza. I just, like, everything she said just cracked me up. I was living for Imogen this year.
Michael, fun fact, Imogen is not a comic character. She was created for the show.
I heard that. I feel like you maybe told me that, or I read
probably
it.
Did.
I either you told me that, or I read it somewhere else. It's, I mean, speaking of the comics, and, like, you know, I just said a minute ago, I haven't read them, and something that I wasn't really prepared for at the start of season two was literally for it to pick up right where it left off.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It is like same moment, like next day. From where season one ends. And I don't know why, but I feel like that's a rarity sort of with TV. Like, I almost anticipated that season two, we were going to be like
a few months later,
flung right into a few months later, like the mid relationship, you know, maybe even a new school year. Like, I did not expect it to be in that same moment. So that was like, that was a very interesting twist as well. And sort of like Jacob was hinting at, it was so interesting, especially like when we compare all of this being in a similar time frame, how much these characters were able to progress in season two, and you learn so much more about these. And obviously the relationship of Nick and Charlie being the center of the show, but so many other sort of secondary relationships revolving around them as well, whether it's their other friends, their teachers, which I loved. I thought that was a great addition as well. But
so
also
hot.
Like these kids and their relationships with other people, right? Tara and her mother, Nick and his father and his brother, just so many different layers to this season for sure.
And I feel like we need to talk about the biggest glow up of the season, which was everybody's skin. I mean, they got famous and it shows, honey. Okay.
Yeah.
It shows, because those people's skin was flawless this year.
Tao getting rid of that dreadful haircut.
I yes. know. It was so good. Though then, like, but then Elle was, like, mad. She was like, you cut your hair. Like, I liked your hair. I'm like, no, Elle,
yeah.
his hair was
yeah,
hideous.
What are you
like,
looking
this
at?
Is such a good improvement. What are you
yeah.
talking
well,
about?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the second, you know, he goes into the convenience store and says to them, I like Elle. It's like, okay, well, honey, first things first, let's get rid of that hair. Let's change it up a little bit. Let's make it tolerable so that you're able to be looked at.
It was just like when he wore the beanie, his hair would just like swoop up.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the actors, though, I think my biggest compliment for the season is that the acting just got so much better. Like, you could tell that a lot of the kids that they casted for season one, it was an open casting call. Like, Joe Locke, he did, like, a Zoom open casting call out of, like, 10,000 other kids that were up for the role. This was, like, his first role he ever did. So, definitely season one. I love season one, but you can tell. Like, some of these people are very fresh, and you could just kind of tell in the dialogue. Season two, like, I was just so pulled in, especially by Joe and Kit, especially the scene in like the finale where they're in their bedroom and they're kind of talking about,
oh, it's heartbreaking,
you know, like,
yeah,
like
it felt so real.
It felt so real. Like, mm-hmm. just it was on like Joe's face when he was describing like the eating disorder, and then it would go to like Kit's face, and he just looked like so absolutely heartbroken and in love with this boy. And it was, I was like, wow, this is, it was just the, like, one of the realest portrayals of a relationship that I have like seen in a long time.
And I think to a certain extent, you know, it almost is real. Like, if you, you know, just follow them on social media, and if, you know, you see all the fan edits of them and everything, like, you could tell, like, the whole cast, they seem to be like such good friends in real life, which I think is lovely. But, and I don't want to butcher this because I don't have the quote directly in front of me, but I did read a quote on Twitter from Kit Connor sort of talking about shooting that scene in particular and just trying to sort of like dig and find something. And he's like, you know, I was sitting across from this person that I love very much and was trying to portray that. And I just think that's wonderful. And it is, I rewatched the finale today just because it's so good. And it's like, it really, like, you want to be there for them. I'm like, I want them to be my friends. I want to give them a hug. They seem so sad.
I want to give Charlie and Nick hugs so badly. I'm just like, you boys, you just need a hug right now sometimes.
I will say, though, speaking to the gay experience, this show does live in fantasy land, okay? Mm-hmm. This is like, this is not at all what reality is like for, you know, kids in high school who are gay.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, maybe I'm jaded and, you know, bitter. But I will say that it's very far from accuracy to a point where it's like there's some type of healing going on for older generations here. Mm-hmm. Like I watching agree. This is like therapeutic.
100%. And it also, like, what I find so fascinating about it is that it does, and I, not to compare it with Ted Lasso, because they're very different shows, right? But I think they both sort of have this feeling to them of portraying things almost like in an idealistic state, right? Of like, this is how things should be. This is how people should act, while also facing really, you know, difficult issues. And in, you know, watching it, and I agree with Jacob, it is idealistic. And it, like, I wish my high school, you know, was experience was like that. But it's like, it's therapeutic in the sense that it also like surfaces things that you don't even realize, but like you connect to, and you're like, you know, I do understand that experience. I did live that in a way. And I thought that's the inclusion specifically of Mr. Farouk's, his story. And when, you know, he's talking to Nathan and he's like, I didn't get this in high school because he came out so much later. That I thought was such an interesting addition into dichotomy to what they're portraying on the screen, you know? And like, my first thought is like, when I watch all these kids, and maybe I'm wrong, but were they maybe at the end hinting a little bit at maybe Imogen being bisexual or
yes,
I can't a little bit. I feel like it was a little bit.
And my first thought,
storyline, I don't know, because she's not in the comics. I'm like, where is she going with her story? I don't know.
And as terrible as it sounds, my first thought is like, I'm like, stop it. They can't all be gay. Like, that's not how this. I'm like, they can't.
No,
they do need. I was like, they do need straight friends.
I feel exactly the same way. Like, listen, this show, like, the epitome of inclusion, but to have every sexuality represented in one very small friend group, and then also to make the one, you know, our token ally, Miss Fierce Beret is out here not being straight now, and that to me was like a little bit much, and I felt like I could have used not that for her journey. I think her journey should be finding herself and learning how to love herself, because yeah. she's been chasing all these shit guys, right? Like, let's yeah. be real. And to have her now going in that direction, I'm a little questionable on that.
Yeah. And the one scene that comes to mind that really points that out is when they are at the prom, right? And she's like mm-hmm. staring up at the guitar Sahar. Player,
yeah,
Sahar, who she thought was straight, and then she's like, "Oh, the token alien." Wait, hold up, I didn't know that.
But fun fact, they do tease it earlier with the Truth or Dare episode. When they all go to sleep, they show an image of Tao and Elle in bed, and they're being goofy. And then in the other bed, Imogen has her arm around Sahar.
Oh, I missed that.
I mean, like, it's sweet either way if it happens, whatever, but I understand. It's like, no, like, she can just be the straight person who's in this friend group who at first was, like, kind of didn't realize her own homophobia. Like, it was slight, but it was there. And then as she, you know, gains more exposure to her friends and everything, she realizes, oh, my worldview was skewed by my upbringing or by the environment that I grew up in. And now I need to, like, better myself and be a better ally. And I don't know. She can...
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's such a small little nitpick.
Yeah. Going just slightly off course here, but, Jacob, what you said reminded me of their trip and when they're at, like, the planning meeting at school, and they're like, there's no, you know, boys and girls in the same hotel room. You have to be separate. And they're like, oh darn, like, it's the worst. Like,
all the gays was, come in. Yes,
it was funny. it was so and funny. Then, like, and it reminds me of, like, all the school trips, you know, that you take, and they're like, oh, we're putting tape over your door. Like, if you try to sneak out at night, we know. Like, it was, I loved that scene. It was so funny.
I just loved when both same-sex couples looked at each other, and they were like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, the gays were so living. Funny. They were getting their life. They were like, yes, Miss Mama. Can we talk about James for a second? Because...
Of course. He's also not a comic character, Michael. James.
Oh.
He actually is, just very slightly. He's in the Truth or Dare, and he is the person... that they dare Charlie to kiss. So that is that is the extent of his character in the comics.
Okay, well, at least they're giving him a little bit more time to mm-hmm. shine then.
Yes.
That's good.
And he came in with that fan thwarp. I was like, work. I was like, that is absolutely, like, he is gay, you know? And I'm like, I feel like that's kind of what we've been lacking, because Charlie, Miss Music, is like the like quiet, you know, I don't really know, like, you know, everything's sad. Nick's like mm-hmm. the okay masculine gay, but like then we get James is out here, he's at Hamburger Mary's at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, like, you know. And I really appreciated that representation in this season.
I think the most exciting arc for me, at least, I just thought it was really good for representation, because we barely ever see this in media. It's just Isaac finding out that he's asexual and aromantic. And that, so for a little context for Isaac's character, Michael. So Isaac in the comics is actually a character named Alid. Alid is like just a different character, but he kind of fills that like third friend in the trio role in the comics. Alid is a character that Alice Osman wrote a book for before she started Heartstopper. She wrote Radio Silence. And in that book, Alid has kind of like all these adventures, and he's demisexual in the comics. And I think in the comics, he's not really present, because I think in Alice's head, like, he's got this whole other thing going on at the same time that Nick and Charlie are dating. So he's kind of like not that present. So I think she just wanted someone for the show who was a little more there. So they kind of drew up Isaac, and mm-hmm. Alice Osman herself is actually asexual.
Oh, but I also love though how he's like never really present, because he's always reading a book.
But
I'm like, you're in Paris, you're reading a book.
That,
but I really like how that's kind of
that's him.
Like,
yeah.
he has trouble. Like, I am not asexual, but I'm demisexual, and so it takes a lot for me to like be comfortable with someone, and I totally understand that feeling of like reading romance books And watching shows like Heartstopper, where you mm-hmm. see these two characters who, like, have this instant connection. And it's like, will they, won't they? And it's just like, you know, they seem so comfortably in love. And then as someone who, like, struggles to get to that point of someone, it takes a lot for me. I read these books and I'm like, ah, like, is something wrong with me? You know, like, I'm like, mm-hmm. damn, I wish I was, like, more open. So, like, I totally, even though I'm not to the extent, like, I'm not asexual, I was watching him just kind of be at a party and kind of be engrossed in a book and kind of be a little distant. And I was like, damn, I really feel for him, you know? But yeah, I really liked his storyline. And he's there, you know, I know he's always reading a book, but yeah. Like,
no, he definitely,
goes to everything.
No, he's definitely more prominent in season two, which I think is a big plus. For sure.
My favorite shot of the whole thing was when they show them asleep in Paris and he has a book on his face. I was like, are you kidding me? He's never away from a book, but you know, I love it.
I love when he goes to the bookstore and he's like, sorry, some guy just bought like 15 penguin cloth covers or whatever. He's like, oh, that's like life goals.
I just liked when he was at prom and then he wandered into the library and he happened to stumble upon like a perfect little table of like, what does asexual mean? He was like, huh. I was like, that was so conveniently placed for him.
I also loved how he gave them all the tea when he came back from his meeting with James. And they were like, oh, did you kiss? Did you kiss? And he's like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm doing my own thing. Get out of my way. I just thought, like, thank God he had more than four lines to say. And thank God he had, like, a fully developed story. I thought that was really nice to watch.
And I just, like, I don't ever see that storyline of, like, everyone in it, you know, being obsessed with romance. And then you just have one character who's like, fuck off. Like, I don't care about romance and you guys are obsessed with it. And as a society, we are a little too obsessed with the idea that everyone has to get together who breathes next to each other, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't know. And Alice Osman is asexual and I have a quote from her. She was talking to the BBC. So I did find an interview. I don't know how recent this was, but she said, I'm 28 now and I didn't even really learn about those terms until I was in university. And honestly, I didn't really understand them until even later than that. I feel like asexuality and aromanticism are identities that are not known about by a lot of people. I wanted to bring that representation into the mainstream and I really hope that people will be able to see themselves in that story. So I love her.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to, for a second, that bitch is like 26, okay?
Like, Alice Osman? Yeah. I think she's older.
I think she might be like 27 or 28 now, but like...
Yeah, she's kind of like our age, which makes me feel unsuccessful.
She has written books. She has created her own TV show, written her own TV show. I mean, you got to give it up. I mean, that is incredible.
Yeah, as the old person on this podcast, she's a year older than me.
You're not old. What?
I'm getting there.
I will say my favorite part of the entire season was the prom. Now, if Mike, you haven't read the comics, but that is not part of it. That was completely new and added. And you know, I've been loving how they've been mixing it up in this whole thing. But to me, my absolute favorite scene is Nick and Tao's conversation when they're sitting there. Because that was the absolute clearest sign of growth for me of like a relationship in this entire show. Like, and they even reference that conversation at the bowling alley in season one where he's like, Chip, and he goes, Crisp in this one. And, like, to me, like, to see how their friendship has blossomed, I think was my favorite thing.
Yeah, that really stuck out to me on a rewatch in particular.
I mean, for me, just to see how integrated Nick is into their friend group now was so endearing. Like, I would just sometimes be watching, like, they'd all be together, and I would just be, like, watching Nick in the background, just kind of, like, you know, goofing off with people and like kind of just talking to them. And I was like, wow, he's so comfortable in this friend group now. And like, he was not even in this friend group like maybe 6 months ago. And you know, like you kind of saw when he was with like his rugby friends who did redeem themselves this season, but he definitely was like putting up a front when he was like with his rugby team and he wasn't as comfortable. And then you see him in this environment and he's just like so like laid back and carefree. And I just love that he's a part of the gang now, you know?
Nick. In so many scenes too, I've noticed, you know, like especially like group scenes, right? Where they're all sort of together, whether it's, you know, Elle's art show or at the prom or in Paris, whatever it is. He is always like one of the first people there cheering on, jumping into a group hug. Like
he's observant.
Very, very integrated.
That's very Nick in the comics too. Like he is often somebody who like notices when things are wrong first.
That scene at the prom when he like immediately notices that something is wrong with Tara.
Yeah.
And is jumping right in to support her. Like immediately perceives it. He's a golden retriever.
He is. And Miss Music has really had a great effect on him. You know, she's really come out of her shell. That was a great way to get into Darcy. Oh my Lord. Things we did not get. We got hints of this in the comics. But
it's so scaled back in the comics, Mike. Darcy's character
mother is.
That's not even a storyline in the comics. Mm. I would equate Darcy in the comics to comic relief.
Yeah, really. She's there to say, like, go, you're being gay. Good job, gay. Carry on. That's her whole thing in the comics. And they mention, like, once, like, Darcy's parents aren't supportive. But in this show, I am loving how we got, like, solo scenes with Darcy, which is, like, I feel like that's rare in a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's obviously about Nick and Charlie, but the fact that we get so much time to focus on some of these other characters and what's going on in their lives. And I think Darcy's scenario is very close to a lot of people's lives in reality. And I think it's so important that they actually took that leap and started exploring something like that.
I will say it's like in the comics, I would say like 80% of the attention, even more, is on Nick and Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And all the characters that surround them are like, I kind of felt like they have things going on, but they're also more there to help Nick and Charlie along with their relationship.
We only see them in the context of Nick and Charlie.
Exactly. And
which is so interesting because in the show, not holistically, but I feel like for the most part, Nick and Charlie's relationship has blossomed very much outside of that and almost without that support. Not that they've not been supportive friends, but you know, like even from the start, they're all like, you got to move on from Nick. You're imagining things here, pal.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like their relationship has felt very, very like inward, right? Like we get so many scenes of them just solo, one-on-one, and that's when they explore really the depths of their relationship. Whereas it feels like more so the friends have been there not necessarily to advance the two of them, but maybe have more so helped each of them individually on their journeys.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I definitely think like even though they gave the ensemble cast a lot more to do than they do in the comics, I still never felt like we were lacking Nick and Charlie in this. Mm-hmm. I feel like Alice did a very good job of, you know, giving a lot of attention to the main couple, which is Nick and Charlie, but then creating these extra storylines and somehow like getting, even though this is like a very fast season, it's not a lot of episodes, giving everyone, like, I feel like there's no time wasted ever. It's just like everything is of substance. Everything is like character development, character growth. And it just, because in the comics, like what the comics is, it's a lot of like Nick and Charlie hanging out and talking. And in this, it's more group oriented. Like, the prom, that's mm-hmm. not a thing, like we said, in the comics. I think the prom in the show is an amazing way to get all these characters together and have yeah. them going through different things at the same time in the same place. I remember, like, there's a lot of things that she put in. The bonfire party yeah. is not a thing. She does this. She creates events in the show where all these characters are at the same place. In season one, rugby day, or not rugby day, sports day, not a thing.
Speaking from experience, like, those, I think those scenes, what makes them so great is that, you know, when you're in high school and you're in that large group scenario, that is sometimes mm-hmm. like when you can feel most alienated, and that's yeah. what is coming through with these characters. And speaking of the prom, I know we keep sort of hounding on it, but I love, like, in the end when they're like, let's just leave. Like, this isn't for them. It's for us. Like, I just want to be with our friends. And, like, that to me is such a wonderful moment. Because I think back to, like, you know, like when we went to prom and ball in high school. And there's, like, so much anxiety surrounding yeah. like that. And it's so trivial looking back, you know. And it's, like, it's supposed to be this big thing. And you're like, it's just fucking stupid at the end of the day. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that was the best opportunity, I think, to have Charlie, Miss Music, have that character growth.
I love that you keep calling
it. It's because of the sign on his wall.
I know.
But that was, like, a great character growth moment for him, because he has, up to this point, just been like, oh, I just want everyone to know. I just want to, you know, be all up in that, and all of a sudden now he's reclaiming it and realizing exactly, you know, who he is and what really matters to him.
Yeah. Oh, I love this so. I love the show so much. So I'm going to put Jacob and Mike on the spot, and myself on the spot, I guess. And we're going to do a really quick little roundtable. Just what was your favorite blank thing in this season? Just to wrap up our thoughts on season two. So I'm just going to hit you with who was your favorite couple?
I mean, it's got to be Nick and Charlie, right?
Okay.
I'll be shocked if anyone disagrees, but it's too good not to be. It is like, I don't know. It's what dreams are made of, honestly. Like, they're so perfect together.
Mine is Isaac and his books.
Mine is actually Nick and his love for Nellie, the dog.
Nellie's hardly in season two, Kate.
How dare you?
Mine is all the characters and their Instagram DMs, all right?
That's, oh, my God. Yeah. Dude, you guys actually know, like, last night I was, like, rewatching parts of the season, and anytime that they showed them reading Instagram, I would pause and then look up that Instagram account. Because, like,
to see if they're real.
Yeah, and they are, but they're, like, you know, obviously fake. But because, mm-hmm. like, when I worked on a film up in Syracuse when I was still in college, I did Big Time Adolescence, which was, like, Pete Davidson. And we did the same exact thing where we had, like, fake Instagram accounts, and we would post fake stories, and then they would – you know, and then they would tell the cast and the crew, hey, comment and like the post. It looked like it has engagement. So I tried to find those accounts, and I found some of them. But obviously, since they had just shown them on the season, there were, like, thousands of comments being like, aw, you know. But I just think that's so hilarious when you're working on, like, a movie or a show that has Instagram, and they're just telling the crew, just like it and comment. And pretend you're a friend. My favorite couple was, I was lying. It's not, I was just kind of joking. It's definitely Nick and Charlie, too. I'm yeah. basic. Though, you know who comes in close second? The teachers.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, that was, it in a show that has absolutely no sex, that was the steamiest storyline we could have ever gotten from this thing. I was rooting for them beyond anything.
I remember, too, like, when I read that in the comics for the first time, I like read the comics on like this app called Webtoon, and there's always like the top three comments when you scroll to the bottom. You see what people kind of said about the comics, and I always remember one in capital letters is like the teachers when it happened. It got revealed. They were like, "Oh my gosh." Okay, just like favorite moment or scene from the season. It can be with any characters. Doesn't matter.
It's so tough because there really are so many. I don't know. I particularly loved when they were in Paris. Felt very exciting. I suppose, I guess, in the Nick Charlie realm of things, sort of like when they go like run off on their own in adventure mm-hmm. around when they're going to see Nick's dad, but even like forget him, he sucks, but like when they're when they're sort of just like off gallivanting, I did love that. I know I love travel and I'm romantic about travel, so it was nice.
You made me think of one thing, that whole Nick's dad storyline where they meet him in Paris and he has to go mm-hmm. and then when they get dinner with him in England when they're all home, that does not happen at that point in the comics. First of all, in the comics in Paris, his dad stands Nick up. Like, they never see his dad. Mm-hmm. And then it's not till, like, I was shocked when the dad storyline started happening because I was thinking just with, like, the pace at which the show is going and where it corresponds to in the comics, like, his dad should not be showing up until, like, season 3, maybe season 4. Mm. So they introduced that really early, which I kind of get. Because, like, season 2 in this point in the comics is where Nick starts getting really concerned with Charlie's eating disorder. But he doesn't really know how to talk to him about it. And that's kind of, like, Nick's arc is, I don't know how to address this really hard thing with my boyfriend. So I kind of like that they were like, oh, let's move the dad up to give Nick just something that's kind of, like, his own problem.
Yeah. Well, in season 2 also, I don't know how it compares to the comic books, but season 2 is really Nick's coming out journey as well, and it felt like his dad was sort of the mountaintop of that.
Yeah, I liked it.
You know, his dad and then also everybody else, like outside of his friends, and the way they handled that with the Instagram post, which I also did, by the way. So I was Heartstopper before Heartstopper happened. Beat him to it.
Yeah, but I like that he was just like, I'm bi. And that was yours was like, hey, everybody, paragraph. Yeah. And then Nick was like, I'm bi.
Yeah. Actually, you have to have the actually in there.
Actually, I'm bi, actually. Jacob, what was your favorite scene or moment?
I mean, I think I said it. It was Nick and Tao's conversation
before
the prom. Mm-hmm. However, I will give an honorable mention to Imogen destroying Ben at the dinner in Paris. I really, really enjoyed that.
It has been confirmed as well that Sebastian Croft is exiting, obviously. Like, mm-hmm. That was the natural conclusion to Ben's story. Mike, for you, who you probably, because you don't know, because you haven't read them, Ben gets a very much more limited run in the comics. Like, he's really out by, like, season 1. They basically tell him off by, the end of season 1.
Well, and I read, too, like, in an interview that Sebastian Croft did in real life, they said, like, they felt it was important that that he doesn't get a redemption arc in the future here.
But I think, like, one of the sole reasons why he was included in season 2 is because in real life, Sebastian Croft is apparently a giant sweetheart. And the rest of the cast loved him so much that they were like, no, he's gonna get written out. And so Alice extended his run a little bit because he just got along so well with everyone on the show. And I think they were like, have him do one more. So even though he was an asshole on the show, apparently Sebastian Croft is like one of the nicest people. My favorite moment is, I don't know, I know this sounds bad, but I don't like that this happened to him, but I kind of like when Charlie passed out.
Listen.
Because like just the way that Nick just like ran to him
yeah,
and had like the most concerned expression on his face and like cradled him in his arms. Like my fanfic loving heart was like losing its mind. I was like, oh my God, this is like just,
I'm hurt sorry.
Comfort, you know,
Miss Music has a flair for the dramatics, okay? She's always doing something so dramatic. Come on now.
Oh my gosh, but I just like loved it.
Yeah, no, it was great. I'm kidding.
Anyway. What's your favorite character arc? So just one character, not like couple. Just one person.
It's a tough one. I don't know. It's not my favorite. Because it's not the most prominent and the most exciting. But I do really like the Mr. Farouk one because it's the one I relate to the most.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be basic again and say Nick. I don't know. I think it's so great.
Oh, he's a very central character.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take the easy way out.
But yeah. No, but I, yeah. Like, but Mr. Farouk, like, yeah, I feel like you don't really see that. You don't see. And I thought of you when I was watching it, Mike.
Thank you.
I was like, I wonder if Mike is like really relating to this. Yeah. So, yeah.
It was a welcome inclusion for sure.
Yeah.
Mine is Tara and Darcy, I think. Just like those two's character arc for this season, especially with Darcy realizing that Tara will love her despite all of these other things. I thought that was a really fabulous arc to put in because so many people feel that way, and I think I've felt that way before, where it's like, oh, there's something really wrong in my life, and if they know about it, you know, they're not gonna love me the same way. And I feel like that is just such a good thing to put on screen and for people to see. I mean, this show, you know, it's for the teens, it is, and it's like, it's for them to see what a healthy queer experience can be.
Fuck the teens, it's for me. I'm 27. It's for me.
I'm so glad you hit on that, though, because, like, I just, like, I was going to say this earlier, and then it kind of got, like, caught up in conversation, but I like shows that just have healthy relationships and healthy vibes all around. And I know we mentioned earlier, this is very fantasy-like. This is not really how real life is. But you know what? I understand that real life is really messy and sometimes kind of awful. And I don't like watching, I mean, I watch them, but I'm not like obsessed with shows that really capture the real grittiness of how awful the world can be.
I'm with you. I like escapism.
And I think Heartstopper is like, A, it's escapism, but also B, it's like, look at this really healthy, like these really healthy communicative couples, like who are, you know, just putting everything out there and just being really like healthy for each other. That's how you should strive to be in a relationship, you know? I feel like it's a teaching lesson, but it's also like, let's escape the real world for a second and go somewhere where things are a little easier.
I do struggle with shows, and usually they're very well-renowned shows that everybody loves. But like the shows where like everybody's just a fucking scumbag and you're like, you can't root for any of these people because they're all terrible. And people are like, oh yeah, that's why it's so great. And I'm like, There's no redeeming qualities whatsoever. That's why
Succession is that what
I can't watch. That's one of them. That's one of them. But even
I did not finish Succession. I tried watching it and I was like, everyone in this show is awful.
But even like, granted, you know me, Kate. You know I love my like my mob shows and movies, and there's usually not too many redeeming qualities. But you know. Like there's a couple, like Sopranos even. I loved Sopranos, but I'm like, Tony Soprano is tough to watch sometimes.
You can only take so much, and you know?
There's an Italian show, Gomorrah. That one was really tough. I had to stop watching. I couldn't even finish it. but yeah, I don't know. It takes a lot out of you. It's so nice to just like watch a TV show and be in La La Land for a little
bit. Like it's nice to watch it and know that like, okay, like, if these characters hurt each other, it's not intentionally, and no one's gonna die, and nobody's going to, like, get in, like, a violent mob fight, like the shows that you watch.
The one thing that always, too, that, like, sticks out to me on a show like Heartstopper is, and it is a bit idealistic, but, like, when you see these two characters, right, like, in their own realm with their own feelings, but they have, you know, things for each other, and you're just like sitting there and you're like, why can't they just say what they feel? It would be so straightforward, you know? And then when it does work out, it is really nice.
That annoyed me. I will say the conversation with Elle and Tao in the woods. Yeah. I'm like, okay, first of all, I don't really understand because it didn't like actually make sense. But like, second of all, like just how crossed those wires were was like so ridiculous. I was like, come on now. Is this really what we're going to do to them? But I'm glad they resolved it very quickly. So
yeah, their whole thing was a bit all over the place. It was honestly like one of the, even though it was sort of central in like, sort of like if Nick and Charlie were 1A, it almost felt like 1B. It's probably the relationship I cared about the least, to be honest.
I did like them,
but it was kind of just like, it was crazy and like so dysfunctional. But then it was like rushed, and it was like they went from like having the worst date ever in like total meltdown to being like flip the switch. I don't know, it's just crazy. But
he asked her out. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. Let's just
well,
leave it
I'll
at that.
Like I'll like be I'll be real. Like I love those two actors individually, but yeah. I don't really think they have like the greatest chemistry together. Like it was just hard to go from like watching Nick and Charlie where I'm like the chemistry is like going.
Yeah.
And then we cut to like Tao and Elle. I do really like their actors though, and I really like Elle's arc about wanting to go to art school. I'm like, yes, queen, like go do art school. Like don't stay at this stupid school where like you got bullied for years. Like go be great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I did like her individual arc. Tao didn't really have an arc unless it was related to Elle, unfortunately. So
I think his arc was being nicer to Nick
and cutting his hair.
And I thought
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I thought he and Charlie had some great moments too.
That's true. You know,
they did when he admitted to him being the cause of the bullying.
Yeah.
Not the cause, but the slip up. Yeah, that too.
They kiss. I forgot. I also like when Charlie's like, Nick, come into the bathroom, and then he's like, oh my god, did I give you that hickey? He's like, do you think anyone will notice? And Tao just walks in and goes,
oh my god, that to me, I know it's iconic and in the comics and everything, that to me was the stupidest thing to be like worried about. Are you kidding me?
I was so pissed off because it is a big deal in the comics too, but they missed what was basically like the fucking best moment in the comics where Charlie goes around with this hickey or like an entire day. And then like at night, he's talking to Tara and Darcy and Elle, and they were like, Charlie, why didn't you just ask us for our foundation? We could have covered that up for you. And he's like, what's foundation? And they're like, oh my god.
My first thought was like, you're in Paris, just throw on a scarf, you'll fit right in.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Did you want to do favorite like peripheral character, like non-main character?
Yes, I feel very passionately about Charlie's sister and how great and menacing.
How have we not talked about her yet?
So hold on, because in season one, and I haven't read the novels, but in season one, I got the feeling that she was like several years older than Charlie.
I think she's Nick's age.
Yeah, I was a little thrown in season two, like when they're going to like the same parties and like they're not always together, but like when they would be at the same event, like that threw me for a loop. Or even like at the end, right when he's like, oh, you should have, right, doesn't he tell her she should have came to prom or something like that? Maybe I'm making that up.
I'm pretty sure she's like only got like a year on Charlie.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was like that close, but I love her and I love how protective she is and scary and just lurking all the time.
You're a pathetic little man.
Yeah,
great line.
She has her, so, you know, Alice Osman has, like, she hasn't just done Heartstopper, like we said. She's published novels. She did one for Alid, who is, like, basically, like, kind of the Isaac equivalent. She also did a book for Tori, like, told in, like, Tori's POV, called Solitaire, which came out before she ever started publishing Heartstopper. So Nick and Charlie are in Solitaire. Like, basically, so Alice really explored Tori first, and then it's mentioned in that book that she's got a little brother named Charlie. He's dating this guy named Nick.
It's so interesting here now, between hearing you say that and the book about Isaac, that she previously wrote these books that are more about secondary characters, really, than Heartstopper. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, and so that's why, like, you get this sense in the comics where it's like, Alid's got his own things going on. Tori's got her own things going on. And, like, I think when she originally, dreamt up this world, like, yeah, Nick and Charlie were in it, but they were not the main focus. And then she decided to start making a story about them being the main focus. And it just, like, popped off, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your, who's your favorite character, Jacob? Or I guess, like, favorite side character.
I mean, hands down, it's my girl, Miss Beret. It's Miss Imogen, the queen, the moment.
Oh, do you have nicknames for everyone?
Oh, yeah. She is absolutely the moment. She was giving what was supposed to be gave. And I really thought, like, she was the breakout star of this season. Like, everything she did was so incredible. And she was so funny and so talented. I lived for it. That purple eyeshadow she had on when she was wearing that red and white checkered outfit. I mean, who else dreams that up? Like, that is so Imogen, you know?
Yeah.
What a name, too.
Imogen. Yeah. I love that name.
Yeah. Very unique.
Obsessed with her.
I don't know if I have a favorite side character. I'm just going to say it's Nelly, the dog. Actually, no.
Olivia Colman.
I was just going to say, I'm going to be serious. Yeah. It's definitely Sarah. Like, I think she's so good in the show. And she's just, like, such a supportive mom.
I love her. And I love, too, like, going back to season one, how they said, like, she just, like, made time to do the show because she loved, like, what it meant, you know, for being such a high-profile actress that she is. Yeah, she's a great inclusion. I was happy to see her back.
Yeah, every time she comes on, I'm like, oh, that's Academy Award winner Olivia Colman.
So to wrap up, because Kate and Jacob already know sort of what's going to happen in season three, unless there's any sort of deviation in curveballs, and because I've not read the novels, I'm going to give a little, I guess, prediction as to what we might see, and hopefully I'll be right, because I like being right. I will, like I said earlier, I was quite thrown off by how we just jumped right in to the next day at the start of season two. So I think with season three, we either, I don't think we're going to kick off, you know, no, we have to, because like the cliffhanger is Charlie about to send the I love you text, right? Will he or won't he? He will. You know what though? No, he's a deleter. He rewrites text like three times. Maybe he won't. Wow, I'm really living this all in the moment right now. But no, I think this season will either be mainly surrounding the summer of love that they're about to have, or perhaps the start of the very next school year. Probably a little bit of both, because they probably end with Elle going away to her new art school and everything, but them having a bunch of fun over the summer. And also a very big difference with Nick and Charlie, a lot of smooching in season two, and probably gonna ramp up a little bit more here in season three. It is still a teen show, I suppose, so they probably won't get too graphic, but they've hinted at it, like little moments like, oh, I want to, just not now. Like, it's definitely, it's gonna get steamy up in season three. for sure. I just don't think they won't show
it. Hey, Lasalle is not going to get. Lasalle, well, it's not saying it's going to get steamy.
No, it is. They're not going to. No, it is. They're not going to show it, but it, they're going to talk about it big
okay,
time.
Okay, okay.
And I don't know. My hope for this show is that it just goes on forever and that we get into a normal people. I don't know if either of you have seen Normal People, but we get into a normal people type of situation, except this one is a bit happier than Normal People because that is a rip your heart out type of show. But that one follows like sort of star-crossed lovers throughout like the rest of their lives. Like they go to school, like college, and then they come back and then they're older and they're separated and then they're together again. So I would love to see this just play on forever. I doubt it will. It'll probably end like with them graduating or something, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's just Nick and Charlie ramp it up. Probably, I don't know, some foreseen new issues that they all have to deal with. Maybe more on Charlie's eating disorder, but I could see them sort of taking that into a different direction. I just hope they, I don't want them to go through a hard time. I don't want them to break up. They better not. Like they better not have any strife in this relationship at all. It needs to be perfect. And Kate, the way you're looking, some shit's gonna go down and I'm not gonna be happy about it.
I mean, like, I'll say this like in the most non-spoiler way possible. Shit goes down, but I never think it jeopardizes their relationship.
Okay, that,
but shit okay. does go down.
Okay.
Things happen, feel, girl.
Things are going to happen.
Oh, no. I can't like, wait. I have to read it I'll now. Say, I can't I'll wait a year. This. I can't wait a year.
It just gets, as you saw between season one it gets and real. Two, season two got more mature.
Yeah.
Season three is also going to get more mature and a little darker. It's just, it just kind of goes down that path. But I will say it never loses that thing we talked about, where at the end of the day, everyone's good communicators and healthy relationships. Everyone's trying their best. It never turns into these people suck.
It'll maintain the magic.
Yes.
But yes, there's definitely, I feel like
it's heavy.
Season two is almost a setup for season three.
Yes. In a lot yes, of ways. Yes.
I can't handle this.
Hopefully there's they good get parts more then, than yeah. Season three, because right now the,
they're renewed they only for have season only three ordered three,
no they have season three ordered but they don't have season okay. four ordered yet, so
I just feel like Netflix will be dropping the ball if they don't see this out to completion. I think
they will. It's so popular.
Yeah, because she's doing so right now. She's working on volume five.
And there's
and I
six.
Think she said, I think be. She said that six is going to be the last one.
Now, does so each does like, each volume correlate to a season, or are some seasons several volumes?
I kind of think with the pacing of season one and two, she's kept it, yeah, basically contained to the two volumes so
well,
far. But they shifted some stuff. And
one know. And two are season one. Like season.
No, they go to Paris in volume two.
No, that's in volume three.
I have to look at the I have to look at the book.
Most of season two is in volume three, and then season one was volumes one and two in essence. But they mixed in a few scenes from
You're so
I feel like I read on Twitter, and I don't know how true it is. Somebody said for the show to play out this entire storyline in line with the novels, it would take four seasons, I think is what I read.
They go to Paris that late? Wait, what
I know,
the
girl.
Fuck
it's
do
like, what's
do?
Happening in one and two? Like,
what the fuck do they do in volume two? Oh my gosh. Wow, this goes to show how long it's been since like, I read these through. Because I read them like right after I watched season one. Damn, okay. Yeah, now I actually am not, I'm more unsure about the pacing.
Yeah, so
now.
So it's been three basically is what we're up to, and then they've mixed in a few scenes from volume four.
Okay.
So I feel like though with like Jacob, like with how much shit goes down in volume four, I feel like volume four will just be its own season.
There's gonna be there's a lot more content for the TV show coming up. So So we'll see how
I'm
they handle
scared.
It.
Don't be scared.
I am
it's
scared.
Like, I think, but if you're scared, you should soften the blow by reading the comics. Because I think,
okay.
I just like you kind of know, like, when you're, like, when I'm reading the comics, like, I'm feeling all these emotions, but I'm kind of also, like, reading very quickly. So I'm like, okay. In the show, like, they really take the time to slow it down. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, crying watching them, Nick and Charlie talk about, you know, like, Charlie's eating disorder and everything, and how much they slowed that conversation down and just, like, their emotions. I was, like, crying, and I'm like, I did not cry during this conversation in the comics. So I'm scared.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot. But
it's going to be a lot.
We'll get through it. I can't wait to come back for...
Yes, whenever that happens, because, I mean, technically, it's a UK production company. I'm unsure what's happening, because I'm like, Alice Osman, is she in WGA? Is she not? Nick and Charlie, are they SAG? I feel like they must be SAG, because Kit Connor's done, like, movies before. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Locke is going to be in the new Marvel show about Agatha. Mm.
About the only thing worth watching there, by the way, is going to be that show with the incomparable Catherine Hahn,
Love her.
Incredible Joe Locke, who we were just talking about, and Aubrey Plaza.
So. Aubrey Plaza, I forgot she's going to be in that. Holy shit.
Well, maybe by the time we record our next for... episode for Heartstopper season 3, Shruti will have watched it by then. One can hope.
I don't think it's gonna happen, but okay. Well, I think we're good to wrap up. So I want to thank Jacob for coming on to the show as this is his second time on the show. Even
I think it's my third.
Oh fuck. You're joking.
No, I did. There were two Better Call Sauls.
Oh, there were two.
And then, but I also think I did season 1 of White Lotus when it was first started.
Again, I was not on that.
Yeah. I didn't do the season 1 White Lotus. I only did season 2.
I didn't do All season
right, well, one. You're going to have to come on the show with me and Kate more often.
Yes. Please. It's been an absolute pleasure. And let me say from the bottom of my heart, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Jacob, where can the people find you on social media if you want to share that?
In the universe, you know, I'm out there, I'm around. I'm sure I'll be tagged in content related to this. So if they want to find me, that's where they can find me.
Okay.
Make them do a little digging. you can follow me on Letterboxd at M Riccardi, and you can't follow me on Twitter because you'll see all of my desperate, like, fan likes related to Heartstopper, and they're embarrassing. So you can't follow me on Twitter.
The fan edits.
Yeah.
Kate, drop your BTS Twitter handle.
Absolutely not. Though I will say, going through Heartstopper Twitter is very similar to going through BTS Twitter, because it's just fan edits of, like, slow down moments. You can find me on Twitter at Kate_Wyatt. I will say this is the more inactive of my two Twitter accounts.
Oh, man.
And I have a Letterbox, but Michael said I'm not allowed to share it or he will push me off of the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Wow.
Yes, bold. To my death. So
romantic.
Death, a thing that does not happen in the Heartstopper universe, but will happen to me in this universe. And you can follow the show at Chaos on the Set on Instagram and Twitter.
And Letterboxd.
And Letterboxd. I always forget we have a Letterboxd too.
I'm really bad at updating it, but it's all up to date.
That is Mike's job, and he does not do
it. As of today, it's all up to date.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a good one.
And in true Heartstopper fashion, we have to end with
bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.